Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the Papaya Podcast. I'm your hostess, trying her mostest, Sarah Nicole, and each week I'm going to be dishing out some sweetness mixed in with some seeds of wisdom or something like that. So get ready to get inspired, get candid, get real, because we are all in this digital space together. I'm very excited to welcome today's guest because she's somebody who I actually met at a speaking online virtual thing during the pandemic. We were both on panels of discussion, and she's just one of those incredible humans that you will not forget. Jessamyn Stanley, she's an American yoga teacher and body positivity advocate and writer. She gained a lot of her recognition through her Instagram posts, which is actually how I found her prior to speaking alongside her, doing yoga as a plus-size woman of color. She recently was also featured in Women's Health magazine in their body issue. She is an incredible author, yoga teacher, entrepreneur, and advocate. Please welcome Jessamyn Stanley. Ah, Jessamyn, I'm so happy. We've had this in the books for a while, but I'm so happy to be here today with you. Genuinely.
It's a long time coming. Like, I feel like I've been admiring your work for years, and I'm so glad to be in community with you. And literally, like, this month we have the Women's Health issue come out that we're both featured in. And it's just like so cool to me to be able to like collide in this way. I feel like the universe let it happen.
Well, it was interesting because with the Women's Health, we knew it was a nude shoot and we knew it was like closed from each other. I was like, I don't know how I've never done anything like this before. And I was the last person of the day, which was such a bad idea because the anxiety just like went up as the day went on. And I got there and everything was so fast. It just moved so fast. But we got to see the call sheet like the day before. And yours was the first name that I was like, oh my goodness, I know her. Like that was in my head. I was like, I know her. I was so excited. And how was the shoot for you? Did you just feel like, did it just feel like another day? Because you do nude stuff in general. You're a little nudie.
I was going to say, I'm like kind of naked a lot of the time. Yeah. So I don't know if that aspect of it was, that was probably the part that I was the most excited about, that it's like, oh, cool. Because I think that there's a level of vulnerability that you can get to when you're not wearing clothes that is just like so different and really freeing. But I think that any situation where there's like a pro photographer and like a team at any time that something like that is happening, I'm definitely thinking about what's going on quite a lot. And so that I think that like being able to find any kind of ease within that space is helpful. And I hadn't thought about the fact that it was a closed shoot for each person and that we were all like really separated. But when I saw your name too, I was like, oh, dope. Like, and I mean, the issue itself is just like really, really cool. I feel like the collection of people is really interesting, but I think that like, we all just have our own relationships to our bodies. And like, it's, what I think is most interesting to me, though, honestly, is how universal the experiences are and like how much we're all just like having the same experience. So I don't know. I mean, I feel you is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it was a great experience. And yeah, there's a bit of like that handing over the baton of you're now going to be representing the way I look in this very raw and real way. And it was such a powerful thing. I actually had done another one very recently where it was like a mannequin series where this photographer went viral 4 years ago. And I've said no to her doing it. And she's always like, when you're ready, you're going to come back to me and you're going to do it. And so that was 2017. She went mega viral for it. And that was at the peak of my disordered eating. It was at the peak of me being like this weight loss influencer. The idea of doing a nude shoot was just no, like absolutely not. I'll feel like a fraud in every other arena. And so it was really interesting. I did the women's health one and then I did the mannequin one. And she looked at me at the end of the shoot and she was like, this was such a long time coming. I'm like, yeah, a lot of things have been because it is this journey. And I feel like no matter where you, there were people in that shoot that I was like, how could you possibly have a negative thought of what, of like yourself? But there's these intersections where we all sort of come together and it's like, it's really hard to live in a body that is changing. That's a variable that is constantly told is your worth and trying to dig your way out of that. And I feel like your work, especially sort of like, and for as long as I followed you, really submerged people in the expression of like what it is to be in a body, not just trying to avoid it or turn away from it, but also re-sculpting the way we looked at health and fitness. You were at the forefront of that. Did you always talk to me? Let's go back a little bit and talk about how you entered into yoga, because yoga space, like I'll be honest, I remember I started yoga because I thought it was cool. I thought it was like an aesthetic. You wanted to, if you were a yoga girl, you were a hot girl. So I was like, I want to be like the fuckable yoga girl. So I went into that, right? And so I had these like other notions of it. And there was always like this part of me that the end of the sessions was like, oh, that was actually really good for my mind. And like, what was that I just experienced? Like, I just came here to be hot. But you, I would love to hear your story of like entering into yoga and how it really became a practice for you.
Oh my God. I'm so obsessed with your story, quite frankly, because like, I never had this feeling of like, I'm going to be a yoga hot girl. Like I never saw myself represented in yoga. And honestly, I thought that yoga was just for thin white women. I was like, this doesn't have anything to do with me. When I was in high school, my aunt was obsessed with Bikram yoga and she convinced me to go to a class with her and I hated it so much. I was like, I'm never doing this again.
Yeah.
And then when I was in graduate school, I was going through a really hard time in my life that honestly, like, was my introduction to the fact that like life is hard, surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
And also that change is constant. And so there's just always going to be something. But during that time, I was really depressed and a friend of mine was really into yoga and she was like, oh my God, come to class with me. And I was like, absolutely not, because I'd had this horrible experience. And so that's also why a lot of people are like, yeah, I've tried yoga. It sucks. I don't understand why you're obsessed with it. And I'm like, I feel you completely. I used to feel this way. But like what ended up happening was that in class, I was frequently the only fat person, frequently like one of, if not the only Black person. It was a very alienating experience for me. And every posture seemed impossible to me. Like even to sit on my shins to sit with my legs crossed felt really challenging. But what I noticed when I was practicing the postures was just how often I tell myself I'm not good enough and I can't do this. It wasn't like I was immediately so flexible. It was that I had this opportunity to see the amount of time that I restrict myself and that I say I become my own worst enemy. Mm. Like there would be moments in class where I would be looking at myself. And in this particular style of yoga, in Bikram yoga, they use mirrors. So you're like looking directly into a mirror. So I'm looking at myself. And this is also something that I was not in the practice of doing. Like I did not have a habit of looking at my own reflection. There are whole years of my life where I don't have many photos of myself because I didn't want to look at myself. But so I'm looking at myself. It's like my worst nightmare. And I'm just like talking cash shit about myself. I'd be like, oh my God, look at your stomach. Look at your arms. Like, look at everybody else in here knows what they're doing. And why did you even show up? And after a while, I'd be like, so are you going to do this for the whole 90 minutes? Or like, are you going to try? Because you could just try. And maybe you fall down. And maybe everyone in here sees that you don't know what you're doing. And maybe the teacher's going to see. And maybe they're all going to make fun of you. Maybe you could still just try. And that idea of just try that resonated beyond, that came off the mat with me. It wasn't like, it was like, where else in my life am I not giving myself permission to try? And what would it look like if I just step into that? And it gave me a lot of confidence. And I was in graduate school at the time. It gave me the confidence to leave graduate school and to move to a new town with basically no plan. For a while, I was like, I had all my stuff in my car and my partner had an apartment and we were like switching off who would sleep in this twin bed. And over time, we like got an apartment together and I was like finding a job and figuring stuff out. And during that time, a bunch of really sad things happened. And one of the things that stands out to me is that my aunt passed away really unexpectedly. And I think that when death comes knocking, it's the time when all of us, you take stock of what's going on in your life. And I just found myself getting depressed again. And during that time, because of all of the transitions, I had stopped practicing yoga. And I was like, what was making me feel good before? Yoga? Mm-hmm. Okay, I just have to find a way to do this at home right now. Mm-hmm. And I had my dad's old Pilates mat, and we literally, there was no space in the apartment to practice, but I would push all the furniture out of this one corner of the room and roll out my mat. And I didn't have any guidance. And so I would literally just practice the few postures from the Bikram yoga sequence that I felt comfortable doing on my own.
Yeah.
And that practice just became my medicine. And ultimately, I still think of yoga in this way. It's the medicine that allows me to be okay with the fact that change is the only constant in life, and that I will always, that I am always going to be in flux. And I say it like that because I think that there's something that happens with yoga where people are like, I thought yoga was going to cure me, or I thought it was going to solve all my problems. And I think that more than anything, it just has allowed me to be okay with the fact that there are problems and okay with the fact that there's conflict. And I started photographing my yoga practice because I wanted to track my progress over time.
Yeah.
And it was that was a very hard experience for me because, and I'm so curious if you have this experience, like photographing yourself and doing so much intimate looking at your body. But for me, it was very triggering immediately. And I was like very critical in these moments. I would be like looking at my body, just like, oh my God, this is disgusting. What's going on? And then, but when I'm actually taking the photo, I would be like, oh my God, life is amazing. I'm incredible. Mm. And just seeing that, what happened at that intersection of my identities, like seeing where the conflict was, it ended up being really powerful for me and becoming something that was so much bigger than yoga in and of itself.
I think that's so powerful what you said about the photo piece, because I was actually looking for photos of my grandmother yesterday and I was going through her Facebook albums and I noticed that she posted so many what we would all consider unflattering photos. Mm-hmm. But the point was not how she looked. The point was that she wanted it documented. She wanted it there. And I have like entire half, if not full decades where I don't exist in photos because I only took photos to document my weight loss or to document how safe I felt in my body. And then those were the ones that ended up like staying and keeping. So getting into the practice of taking photos in an uncomfortable place, which is what I just shared with you, like I kind of have done. And then your mind slowly shifts. I went from like panic mode into like appreciation mode and also acknowledgement mode of like, all of this is fucking temporary. None of this is sticking around forever. It is really interesting, but I've never heard somebody approach fitness in a way of like acknowledging things that are hard. I think there's a lot of, and not in the toxic way, but just a lot of people push how joyful fitness is and how joyful everything is. And I'll be honest, like as like the white thin woman who was in a yoga class, I felt so outside of fitness forever because I didn't grow up in a home. Like I just didn't grow up ever. I was the chubby kid when I was little. So I never, gym class was terrifying. Gym class was not it. So now I've like lost 100 pounds. I'm going to the gym and I was doing it to prove something. I wasn't doing it to feel good. I was doing it to try and fit into this space that I was trying to fit into. And it wasn't until aerial yoga. I did aerial yoga with the silks. And that's the first time I was like, this is so hard, but I have to live. And it was interesting because you have 3 inches. There's 3 inches between your head and the floor when you're upside down.
Totally, literally.
Yeah. 3 inches. And it's amazing what those 3 inches, you're totally safe. Like you are safe, but the fear of falling
drove me to the greater strengths that I didn't know I had, where when I was on a mat, I was like, oh, I just can't do this. Like, I just can't do it. And when I'm hanging upside down, I was like, I have no choice but to climb my body out of this. And that's what shifted it. That's what shifted me mentally when it came to yoga. Similar to your what you were saying, is just it never became about how good I felt. It became about something entirely different. I think that a lot of people have very different experiences with that. But unfortunately, the only message we see online is that it's because you feel good and because you, and that can be a facet of it. It can be a piece of it, but it isn't always like the common denominator in the practice of making movement a part of your everyday. When it came to you sharing on social media, I mean, you've been doing it for some time and you created a lot of conversation around what fitness looked like. And was that intentional in a way, or was it sort of frustrating that you almost had to become a face of something because there was no face to who you were in that space? Can you talk me through a little bit about that, whether it was intentional or whether it was sort of like handed to you because you didn't look like what we saw yoga to be?
Yeah, it was definitely not something that I intended. Like, it was not the goal. When I started sharing my practice, it was literally just so that I could connect with other people, because I felt very isolated in my home practice. And I think this is one of the reasons that people don't practice yoga at home, because you don't have the community around you.
Yeah.
But what I noticed mostly was people being like, I didn't know that fat people could practice yoga. And I was just like, wow, fat people do all kinds of things all the time. Like, we obviously just have a huge visibility problem.
Yes.
And that did motivate me to keep sharing my practice, and to this day is why I still do, because even now, like, I'm like, we've made so much progress, and then there'll be, I'm sure somebody right now is DMing me like, wow, you know, I never thought that I could do this practice. I never thought that I could do it because I'm fat. And I'm just like, wow, we live in a world that has created so much toxic rhetoric around who is worthy, who is allowed to do and to be and to live without, needing to explain yourself. And that is something that I think ultimately is my motivation, like more so than showing that like fat people can practice yoga. It's that it's okay to be yourself. It's okay. You don't have to apologize for who you are. And this is something that has really been that I've noticed about myself over time, is the amount of apologizing that I do for my own existence. And I think that that is such a common experience, to a point where we question it if it's not happening. And I think that it is really weird to put yourself out there, because you end up being categorized in one way or another, and you'll end up wearing some kind of moniker or like title or label. And that label usually is a simplification of who you are or what your message is. And I think that for me, it has been really helpful to draw a distinction between the message that I share with people and who I am as a person. And also, especially like in working with big brands and being in campaigns, like I'm right now in a Gatorade commercial that is all over United States and Canada. And I have been featured in Adidas ads. And it just, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, it becomes about, there's like a tokenization and a fetishization that comes along with all of this that I think is really challenging to reckon with. And ultimately, what feels important to me is the fact that another human being could see me and say, I am okay today. I don't need to apologize for who I am.
Yeah.
And that helps balance the scales. But I definitely did not step into it thinking like, oh, this will be like, yes, I have this message to share. Like, yes, how can we increase inclusivity in yoga? It's like, no, how can we all just be okay with being human?
You know, that's the one biggest memory I remember I have in a yoga class, was a woman queefed, and it was the most, nobody in the room said anything. I'm sure everybody had like something to say, but we all had this, like, it's in any other context, that would be a hilarious thing to happen. But in that context, it was like, no, that's very normal to happen. It's like what happens with the human body, and everyone just carried on with their practice. And I was like, had that been me, I would have been like crawling backwards out of the space. But for whatever reason, the next time I ever like queefed in front of my husband or something, I was just like, whatever, that woman in yoga class did it. It was fine.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a thing. Right. And I felt a lot of just like the acknowledgement of body, but I struggled. I will tell you, can we talk for a second about hot yoga? Please. How do you feel about hot yoga? Because I'll tell you, I thought I was going to die. I thought the room was broken and I was like, everything, the room broke and I'm in the room that broke and something's very, very wrong here. And people are like obsessed with it. It's like cold plunges. There's like people, there's like a spectrum of people who like the cold plunges and the hot yoga. And I need to understand them. And I need to understand what you think about it.
Legitimately, somebody that I respect deeply was just trying to convince me about cold plunges. And I was like, I'm never doing that. But after she explained it to me, I was like, I'm kind of curious. And now saying that, I'm like, oh, that's why I like hot yoga. Okay, so I'm low-key obsessed with hot yoga. I'm totally one of these people that you're talking about. And it's like, it's only because I'm a masochist. And it's like so intense like, it pushes you to a breaking point in a way that like, I think it's hard to do without the heat. Mm. Like it's whenever you're like in control of the temperature and your surroundings, it's like you don't have to face yourself in the way that you do when it's like, no, bitch, you about to look at this, like, period. And it's so intense because, I mean, I remember, so the same friend who introduced me to yoga, she introduced another friend of ours to yoga. And this friend is like runs marathons, very athletic. And she passed out in that hot yoga class that they went to. And it was like, it's one of those things where it's like, okay. And even to that point, the very first hot yoga class that I went to, I was like, this heat is unreasonable. And if you've never been to a hot yoga class, they're heating to like, it's like about 105 degrees. So yes. Like, it's fucking hot. And
it's
like,
so bad.
It's like, you're sweating in ways. I was sweating in ways that I didn't know the human being sweat. Like I was sweating on the tops of my knuckles, in my eyebrows. And like, they tell you not to leave the room also. Like I was just like, why would I not leave the room? This is outrageous. And during that very first class, I left and I was like, oh my God, I feel so much better. And then when I walked back in, I learned why you shouldn't walk out, because it creates such an intense physical shift in your body that it can have all kinds of negative repercussions. And for me, it was nausea. And that's why I was like, I'm never doing this again, because this is awful. But it was ironic that like, when I did go back to yoga, I went back to the exact same style of yoga. It was still hot. Everything about it was, it's not like, now I really enjoy the heat. But in the beginning, it was just like, this is oppressive. And more than anything, I just want to see if I can survive. What would happen if I stopped telling myself that I can't do it? And that's just the sort of thing that like is not even about what you're physically doing. It's just about like, how do I show up in life? Like, how often do I say, I can't do it, I'm not even going to try? And like, what am I missing out on when I do that? And so, and not even that like there's so much being missed out on, but just asking the question and having the opportunity to think of something different. Mm-hmm. That's why I fuck with the heat. Not because I like heat like that. Because I really
Are we going to cold plunge? Because I feel like it's the exact same theory behind it. It's like pushing yourself through a discomfort, regulating your breathing, paying attention. And every time I'm like, I like a shower, scalding hot, that I look burnt when I get out. And you're trying to convince me to get into a cold bath of water. And why is everybody doing it? I'm like, y'all feel like you're in a cult and we need to talk about it.
Well, yeah. Well, this is the thing. So I'm in Northern California. And what I didn't know about Northern California before I got here is that the ocean is impossibly cold. Like the fact that people get in it is insane to me. It's so cold. But so I remember one time I was out there just like sitting on the shore watching, and this man came out in his swim trunks and he just got directly into the ocean. This is also like at 6, 7 a.m. maybe. Mm-hmm. So it's like particularly icy. And he just like got in fully submerged, and then he came out. And then he got on the shore. I was staring. I was like, what are you doing? But then he like on the shore practiced some yoga postures and then sat in meditation. And I think about him all the time and just how refreshing and cleansing and just like presencing, like brings you into the present moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that like we live in a world where there are so many distractions and we're all constantly like looking at our phones or like looking at this thing, thinking about something from the past, worrying about something in the future, and just being intentionally dropped into the moment is very valuable, and by whatever means necessary.
It's interesting that you brought up the word distraction, because I've really struggled and grappled with the reality that our bodies are this like mass distraction, and it's like a hum inside our brains. It intersects with almost every single part of our day and our world and how we feel worthy. And then there's that part of me that's trying to like disengage from that distraction. But at the same time, coming into practice of appreciation, especially through change, through, you know, the ebb and flow of a body, if you will. But how have you sort of like worked through some of your feelings around becoming present in your body, but also removing the distraction of thought around your body? Because I feel like you're a good person to ask about this, because your practice is in your body and you also work so hard in, you know, acknowledging change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that for me, it's just accepting that every part of me is needed. Like the part of me from before, the part of me that I didn't like, the part of me that actively hates myself, all of that has to be there. Like, no. And I always think of it as like, we can all be in the car, but we don't need to drive the car. So like the part of me that hates myself doesn't necessarily need to drive the car. Yeah. She can sit in the back. We can get her some snacks. Maybe she needs a hug. I don't know what's going on. But like, there's a lot that can happen if I accept every piece of myself. And I think that that more than anything is really where I end up leaning in. Because I find so much wisdom in the hardest parts of my life and in the parts where I'm most challenged. The things that I want to run away from the most are the parts that have the most to teach me. And I think that being able to just rest in that and let the conflict be there, and like, you know, sometimes we talk about like riding the waves of life. And I think of it, I mean, I'm a double Cancer, so I'm the most watery of water signs. And I'm like, I just need to be in the ocean. I need to be of it. I don't want to try to fight the waves. I don't want to try to top the waves or be I don't need to dominate the waves. I just need to be of the water and accept that change is not only going to come, but that I need to invite it in. I can look for it to a certain degree, like that it's okay to evolve. And that, because when I think now about who I am at this age and who I was even like 10 years ago, I could never have seen who I have become. Yeah. And if I had any inkling of some of the pieces that had to happen along the way, I would have run in the opposite direction or been like, I can't do that. That's too much. And just letting it be there, letting myself be human, I think is the most valuable thing at this point. And especially thinking about like, God willing and the creek don't rise, that there will continue to be change. Like that life will continue to bloom and blossom and be so much more than I could have imagined. But just knowing that the shitty part has to happen, the self-hate is going to be back, the distrust, totally reasonable and there. And I think there's also a piece of that too, where it's like not gaslighting myself, like not making it like, why do you feel this way? Or like, what's wrong with you? You know, you should be different. And it's like, no, bitch, I'm complicated. I exist on many different planes. And that's a good thing. It's a benefit.
That's probably one of the most validating things, and I think comforting things that anybody who lives in a body could hear. Because I think when I went through this last postpartum, it was so humbling. And I remember writing about the fact that I needed to acknowledge what it was, and it was grief. I had to grieve who I was in order to become who I am. And I think we constantly are at war with ourselves to feel good about who we are and not ever feel bad about who we are. And I get DMs every day like, how do you do it? Like, how do you find it? How do you? And I'm like, I just show up. I don't wait for the feeling anymore, because it's not coming with me at every point in life. In fact, it's never really been there. If anything, the only time that I regret anything is, like you said, when the hate was driving the car, when that took the front seat and then I was merely a passenger to it, where now it's like, it's there, it's with me, it is me, and I can't escape it. I need to actually talk about it. I need somewhere for the bad feelings to go. We need to acknowledge them if we're going to be able to show up in ourselves and in everything else. Otherwise, it's just another thing that we feel shame about. It's another part that we feel we failed at if we don't love ourselves enough and we're not perfectly happy with who we are all the time. But I want to ask you, because this is something I get asked all the time and I feel like it's such an individual thing, but I'd love to hear what you do on the days that it's really hard, on the days that you really struggle with, like, topically appearance. Like, everyone has those days where you're like, I want to burn every piece of clothing I have. If I look one more minute in this mirror, or that one photo, you know, back when I lost 100 pounds, it was this big newsworthy article that this one bad photo on Facebook inspired a woman to lose all this weight. It was so quote unquote inspirational. The reality is, I saw one photo that decimated my self-esteem, that spoke nothing about who I was, but about how I felt I was being perceived, that made me restrict every corner of my life in order to never feel that discomfort again. The reality was, it followed me. I felt uncomfortable at every single size, all the way down to a zero and back up again. And so I would love for somebody who has really worked in the practice of, you know, being in your body, how have you managed those days and those thoughts and still showing up for yourself?
Oh my God. It's literally just like, let it be painful. Like, okay, I want to, so much that you said resonated. And one thing that I'm thinking of is, I had a period some years ago where I was like looking at my Instagram photos and I was just like, this is a hall of mirrors. It's my nightmare hall of mirrors, because every picture that I've posted is perfectly curated. It's not going to seem that way to everybody, but to me, yeah, I'm looking at it like, this was my idea of the best picture. This is the day that I felt really good about myself. Mm-hmm. And now on this day that I'm not feeling good about myself, this is like a nightmare, because I'm only looking at the, like, hall of fame, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that feeling is so debilitating and, yeah, very much like, I don't know where to go forward. And the only way that I really process this at this point is just to let myself feel whatever the feeling is. Like, yeah, I don't try to not feel sad, or like if I feel depressed, I just let it ride. Yeah. And like, that might mean literally just like staying in bed and being, yeah, this. I feel like at this point, I now know that like my big thing is that like I have to get out of bed. So I don't do that as much, just because it's like a mental health thing for me personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I have deep respect for just like feeling into the darkest corners of the emotion and just, mm-hmm, saying like, I'm just going to let it be here. And also really looking at myself in the way that I think is unattractive, like saying, I'm going to look at my triple chins. I'm going to turn my body this angle and I'm going to really look at it. I'm going to sit in front of the mirror and let that be. Because, yeah, there comes a point, and this is like, so what I'm really saying also is that I meditate in this space. Yeah. Like, I let, and meditation, I think, has, talk about something with way too many assumptions about what it actually is. But I think that meditation seems like really fun and like calming, and I find meditation to be extremely complex and hard, and like, just like, it's like a collision of thoughts at all
times.
I'm like,
I don't want to go there. I don't want to know what I'm thinking.
Literally,
I don't want to know what's going on in my mind. That sounds terrifying.
Exactly. And so my thing is like, okay, I'm going to sit with the emotions. I'm going to feel it. And, yeah, then, and the thing that always happens in meditation is that you can't feel it forever. Like, emotions, somebody told me recently that every emotion only lasts 90 seconds. So like, even in your deepest, even in, if you're like, I'm going to sit with this and I'm just going to let it be terrible, eventually it's going to dissipate and it's going to turn into something, or your mind is going to move on. Mm-hmm. And so that is usually my response, is to just meditate. and let the feeling be there and then let it pass through my mind and move on. And because what ends up happening is this deep welling gratitude to even be alive and to just be here. And that's where I end up sitting is like, okay, what can I be grateful for? And it'll be like, literally, I'm going to list out things that I'm grateful for. And it could be anything. And it's usually like, it's not about my body. It's not about, it's like, I'm grateful that I woke up today. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful that the sun is shining and therefore the earth is still, its rotation is still being supported. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful that I have clean water to drink. And then from there, it's like, okay, you know, this body, I fucking hate this body, but you know, it did get me out of bed today. And you know, I don't mind the way that this finger looks. And then just like starting from there, just like, what can I say that I like? And how can I really find the joy that is always here in this moment? But I feel like I can't get there if I don't let myself feel really shitty first. Like, I feel like it has to be, don't anybody tell me, I despise being told like, you should love yourself or like, it's okay. Don't you, I'm like, you don't know me. You don't know my life. Like what my truth is my truth. And being able to let that be there allows me to see the bounty that is actually present.
I only struggled with depression for the first time when I was pregnant with my fourth, and I had something called prenatal depression, which I didn't know existed. And the discomfort of what depression is versus what I thought it was and how much I thought I could escape it or happy it away and how uncomfortable I was, the emotional vulnerability hangover that I would have anytime I talked about it. And it was like, no, that's not who I am. I'm the happy girl. I'm not supposed to be like this. And then I came out of that and I would talk about it reflectively and how much that experience really taught me. And now just recently I got diagnosed with PMDD, which again, didn't know existed until it was suddenly my diagnosis. And I only had heard people talk about it online. And the one thing I've really learned about that particular thing and about mental health in general is you can't just like happy think your way out of it. And so what I've learned is sort of, you know, I usually have to get my kids to school. So like there is no always like staying in it, but not trying to fight how awful it feels and not trying to happy it away. And understanding that if I try and run, it's just chasing me and it's faster and it's going to just hurt so much harder when I fall down. And it does.
That's and the thing about it. Is it's thing. Like, it still comes up. It's it like, it doesn't comes. Even matter. It's like, you can pretend it, you can hide it. And I feel like, I mean, having to wear so many hats, you just have to compartmentalize at a certain point.
It's sometimes
like,
you do
put this over here. But it's like that box is still there. The trash still stinks and it's going to have to happen. I have to know, are you a Gemini? What is your sun
I'm
sign?
A Capricorn.
No,
but I don't believe I should be. Somebody said I'm a Capricorn, but I was due in Sagittarius. So I've always felt like a Sag, but I forget what my total birth chart. I'm December 31st, 84. Wow, I remember I did it once, I'm a Capricorn, but I don't identify like every description of it. I can't relate all the time, but there's something about my moon and sun that like brings it to make sense again. But yeah, it's always been a fascinating thing, but I find it all like a lot I'm of things with, really... I would say the only thing I'm stubborn about as a Capricorn is like, I'm stubborn that nothing is actually wrong with me until it's like actually. So like speaking of like, that's basically it. I just run from my problems like incessantly until they catch up with me. And I think that one thing that I've learned a lot along the way is on the really hard days, finding comforts, whether it is like a really good blanket or for me, like my husband knows now, like we're not making dinner. I'm either ordering butter chicken or I'm having a bowl of cereal. I have to go into like a deep comfort state, but I prepare for that now. I don't fight it anymore. And I'm like, no, I'm fine. No, I'm fine. No, I'm fine. We have written it into contracts. I've changed the way I do business by acknowledging it instead of just being like, I don't want this to be a thing that makes people never want to work with me or never want to interact with me. I need everybody in my world to understand so I can support it, because you know what? It's a 3-day journey. It's a 3-day, it's once a month, it sucks. But 3 days a month, I can prepare for, I can strategize for, I can let people be aware of, I can watch the cycles for. And I know that that's not something that everyone has the privilege of within mental health, is to have a predictor that comes and tells you when the big bad days are coming. But I do think that there's something about our society that is so uncomfortable with discomfort. We don't want to talk about, we don't want to talk about racism. We don't want to talk about, privileges. We don't want to talk about anything that makes us uncomfortable. Talking about failure, you know what? Like 30 minutes ago, I said something that I shouldn't have said on my Instagram. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to leave it up and I'm going to apologize because we need to see people failing in real time. We have to stop becoming so, like, if I just took it down and I was like, no, I'm ashamed and I don't want to talk about it, that just allows more shame to fall into the cycle that doesn't actually evolve us as human beings. And in relation to each other, we are flawed, we are uncomfortable, and the more we get into the parts of us that is so uncomfortable because we just don't know better, I think we all kind of come out really well. And I think this is what I'm saying, is this whole conversation is sort of so beautiful because it's peaceful with the fact that we have to get in bed with the things that we're uncomfortable with. And that includes the parts of ourselves that we hate. And I don't think I've ever heard somebody say that before or acknowledge that before.
Yeah, I just really think that to be able to be at peace with yourself is not to like everything about yourself. It is to actively hate pieces of yourself, because hate is a part of the human experience, and dislike is important. It's a really good note of, it tells you about yourself. It tells you about the world. And being able to really listen to your gut and feel your intuition and be present to yourself means leaning into the negativity and not away from it. And I just really, I think that when we talk about happiness, and we were talking about this, like being the happy girl, I feel like for so long, I've just been like Daria, basically. Just like, I'm like, well, this gloomy thing is coming, or like, you know, but like, think about this thing. But I'm like finding now that I feel very happy most of the time. And it comes from just being like, yeah, no, there's something gloomy right around the corner. Like, and actually maybe it's right here, rain cloud over your head. And that's okay. And it's a joy to just be able to live ultimately. And, you know, I'm saying that and I'm just like, past me is annoyed with myself because I'm like, oh my God, you're so flaky. Like, when did you stop? Oh my God, this is all that new age shit. Of course, now you practice yoga, you would say something like that. But I'm like, I need her too. I need that part of myself that is critical. And like, just being able to let it all be there feels really powerful.
I remember this quote by, it was actually Zooey Deschanel. And she said, nothing is more powerful than allowing yourself to truly be affected by things. Whether it's a song, a stranger, a mountain, a tea kettle, an article, a sentence, a footstep, feel it all. Look around you. All of this is for you. Take it and have gratitude. Give it and feel love. And that stuck with me because I always felt like I was so soft. I cry at literally everything, but I cry at things that are so sad, and I also cry at things that are so happy. And I think for a lot of us, we're in this place of, if I feel bad things, I'm not doing a good job in the human experience. And I think what I love about what you're saying is like, feel it all, like acknowledge that that's part of our human experience. We experience more joy when we acknowledge the things that are hard and painful. I mean, there's so many inspirational quotes about, you know, the rainbow that comes out after the rain. But I think there's part of me in listening to you speak that's like, I also need to appreciate the rain in a way. I need to acknowledge it. I need to acknowledge it. And then I need to also appreciate and acknowledge the rainbow, and that one doesn't come without the other. Exactly. Like they come together, right? So
like, after the storm is when the flower grows. Like there's no way to have anything actually be strong and have roots and be powerful without sustaining wind. My horoscope reminded me the other day that trees grow roots to withstand the wind. Like they're not, and they become so strong and live for hundreds of years and longer than that. And it's because they have to withstand change, and it's not because they always are, it's the best day. Like everything is so happy. So just like letting it be there is, and you know, there was something else that you said before about the saying the wrong thing and then wanting to respond in real time and like offer an example of what it is to change your mind or to have a different opinion. I think that we live in this time of like, it's everything is so heavily curated and we're all like trying to edit our lives together and pretend something. And it is so powerful to just have an opinion and to just to say something, even if somebody disagrees with it, even if it hurts someone's feelings, that maybe there's a lot there. And I think that that's something, especially like sharing your life on social media. This is something that I experienced personally is like, there's lines where you're like, is this what I want to say? Maybe I shouldn't say anything at all about this topic because it could be incendiary to this person or that person.
Or I don't know enough. I'm not educated enough. Yeah,
exactly. But the reality is that none of us are that educated. And ultimately, like, everybody is just saying their opinion. Even if something seems like it's a fact, it's just somebody's opinion.
Yeah.
So if you value your thoughts and you're okay with being humbled and saying, I don't know, I changed my mind, or maybe I have something to learn from somebody else. Like, then from that place, you say anything, do anything, and do it because it will inspire somebody else to do the same thing.
I think it's so important, especially in the realm of social media, where everything we ever say or do can get thrown back against us. It's the reason I've left up photos where I edit myself. It's the reason I've left up weight loss images and shitty things I've said, because I believe in the hope of humanity that we can change our minds and that we can be different people and we can evolve. I don't want to erase the things that are uncomfortable to look back on now, how I shamed my body before and the fatphobic things that I said. I want people to see the change of a person, like the evolution of somebody, even if it still bites me in the ass and someone was like, you edited this photo 3 years ago. Guess what? Yeah, I did. I was in a really bad place.
Right.
I
don't know what you want me to say. Can you relate to that? Have you ever been in a bad place?
Have you ever been a woman in this world?
I'm curious how you feel about trolling or like how that all impacts you, because that's also my reaction to trolling is like, yeah, you know, I can understand where you're coming from. Like, if there's ever any time that I receive negative feedback, I'm like, damn, you must be having a bad day, you know, because like in general, I think that if you're happy, you don't want for other people to be unhappy. You want to promote happiness.
Yeah.
So that if you're sad, it's like, oh, man, I get that. I feel that. And it becomes an opportunity for like humanity again of like, I get it. And I think that
I always try. I always have hope for people. And sometimes I'll like send them a voice note or a video just to be like, we're both people here. Sometimes it works. And sometimes I have to bless them and block them and move on. Some people seek to destroy. That is their intention. They're not looking for anything else. I've never been somebody that has looked at somebody's content and thought, this is what I'm going to say. I've always thought, it's okay that I have a private conversation, or it's okay that I don't say anything at all, or that I unfollow or mute this person. There's a lot of voices in this space now. And I think it's just one of those things where we eventually have to, I'm sure you have as well, when you meet like celebrities and you realize that they're like deeply insecure, and you realize that they're also very, very human. And it makes you realize how many news stories you've read about, or how many times you sat with your girlfriends and speculated over certain people. And you're like, wow, I have to come face to face with this, because these are human beings that we have, you know, in, and whether that comes with their job or not is a very, it's all a human experience. And I think that's just, I just hold hope for everybody, even the worst of trolls I've ever had. I just hold hope for people, because I know that I was a very, when I was in my 20s, I was a very jealous person because I was a very unhappy person. And I know where it comes from. So I only have like empathy, but I also have boundaries. And I think that that's, especially when it starts to impact mental health, and that impacts, you know, your relationships around you. It impacts the way that you parent or partner. That's where I'm like, a line has to be drawn. I can't give all access, but it is such a journey. I'm so in awe of the way that you have navigated this space and everything you've done. For everyone listening, you have gifted us with like one of the more powerful episodes I think we've ever gotten to listen to, and some of the more powerful things that I think I will live with for a very long time, I hope. Where can everyone find you, and what would you like them to sort of tune in? Plug away.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you can find me in my classes and my books, Everybody Yoga and Yoke, My Yoga of Self-Acceptance at jessaminstanley.com. And it's Jessamine, J-E-S-S-A-M like monkey, Y-N like Nancy. And you can find me on social media at My Name is Jessamine. And you can follow my yoga studio, The Underbelly, at The Underbelly Yoga. And you can try a free 2-week trial at theunderbelly.com.
Oh my gosh, maybe I'm going to get back into yoga with you. I can see it. I can do it. Okay.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thank you so much. And for everyone listening, I'll have everything in the show notes for you as well. And we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening all the way through this episode. If you've made it this far, I have one more little thing to share with you. Did you know that I actually have a photo and video editing app? So many people were surprised to hear that I have one, but it's actually been around for a little while, and you can join over 200,000 of the Papaya community by downloading my free app, Pink Papaya, on iOS. While so many apps focus on changing your appearance, Pink Papaya is all about celebrating yourself for exactly who you are and expressing your creativity and your storytelling with nearly 50 free filters and tools. Find us on social and share your edits as well. We might just share them too. So tag me as well at Pink Papaya app. Just had to share that with you, especially as the springtime's coming. We've got some really cool things happening in there and so much more coming. Check it out at Pink Papaya app. Thanks so much for listening and have a great day.
Well, friends, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to today's episode. For more information on this episode, check out the show notes or find us on Instagram at The Papaya Podcast. And if you loved what you just listened to or know somebody who would, please share it. Simply screenshot today's episode in the podcast app and share it to your Instagram stories. And don't forget to tag us. Last but not least, if you'd like to lend your personal support to the podcast, take a moment and leave a review on iTunes. We would be oh so grateful. Tune in next week for a fresh new episode of the Papaya Podcast, and we'll see you then.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.